morning. This past weekend was an exciting one for me. Some of you that were here on campus may have noticed a large number of Corinne individuals that were here on campus having a huge celebration. There were a few hundred Corinne from all over the United States that have come here to the United States as refugees. And they were here to celebrate the 100-year mark of Eric B. Hare beginning missions in their country. And it was a very special event. But I really want to encourage you as pastors to be aware of the potential that refugees may be in your community. I think sometimes we're not aware of this, but there are 10 countries that primarily resettle refugees around the world. The United States accepts more than double of the other 9 combined. So the opportunity for church planting, for ministry among refugees is huge. Just yesterday, I was just sharing here, Pew Research named the Seventh-day Adventist Church as the most diverse religious group in the United States. I think that is fantastic news. In fact, no other denomination was even close. We're so far on top of the list. They have to put up things like Jehovah's Witness and Muslims and Hindus and all that after us. It takes a while before they get to Catholics and then down from there. But it's amazing, and what a blessing. I believe we need to celebrate our diversity more because unchurched people, secular people, like that. And that is something that is special and unique about us as Adventists, and we need to really take advantage of that. That is something I celebrate as a local church pastor. We celebrated our diversity every opportunity that we had because we're united in diversity, and that's a huge statement to this world. This morning, though, I want to talk about passion for Christ. I wonder how many of you here have children, let's say between the ages of 3 and 12. Just raise your hand up. Okay. Well represented. So I thought. I have in that age group as well. In fact, right now we have a couple boys that we are hosting from Latvia. This is their second time with us. They came 4 weeks at Christmas, 8 weeks this summer through a program called Project 143. It's a hosting program, but we hope to adopt these boys. And I can tell you that there are certain things that happen in a kid's life that they get so excited that they have to broadcast it to everybody. One of those is to lose a tooth, right? Well, over Christmas, my 11-year-old lost a tooth. Now, one of these young boys visiting, 7 years old, visiting from Latvia from an orphanage, he knew that when you lose a tooth, you get money. So in his broken English, he started telling him that somebody was going to fly and give him money that night, right? Well, the next morning, we heard this sound, because we have a monitor in our bedroom. We heard the sound upstairs of some spitting in the sink. And we ran upstairs, and this 7-year-old had pulled one of his teeth out, too. We don't know how loose it was, but he wanted some money as well. So anyway, he was excited when he lost his tooth. There was a lot of bleeding, but anyway. Kids get excited when they learn how to tie a shoe for the first time, right? Or how about riding a bike? Now, that's something our boys enjoy. We have some off-road trails that they go on, but they have bumps and bruises and scrapes all over their legs. And it's all from biking, trust me. When you get your first pet, boy, a kid gets excited about that when they're able to bring a puppy home or a kitten. Or being able to jump off the deep end, right? You can swim in the deep end. Well, it's only 3.5 feet, you know, but hey, that's deep for them, right? Or birthday. Wow, I'm 4 and a half. I'm 6 and a half. My birthday's almost here. That excitement. Or the first crush, right? That's very exciting for young children. Some of you know Nick Vajusic. Nick is somebody who was born without his limbs. And he has had quite an adventurous life, actually, much more adventurous than most people who have their limbs. Of course, he learned to write. He's learned to be a photographer, to skateboard, to play soccer, football, to surf, to swim. He's even done some swimming with the sharks, which I haven't done that one, with those kind of sharks, to golf, skydiving, so things that even people that have their limbs have not done. In fact, he's gotten married and had a baby, and there's another one on the way. In fact, I just recently watched a documentary of him learning to drive. That was something he didn't believe he could do. In fact, when he got in the car, he just said, "This isn't working." But the person that had created the vehicle for him said, "You can do this." And the next thing you know, he's driving a car. But you know, Nick's greatest passion is to share with the world that God loves you. This is something that has put him in positions where no other Christian can go. Because of his uniqueness, he is able to go into the public school systems and speak about Jesus. He's able to go in front of heads of state. He's able to go into countries that are closed to Christianity and talk with them about God and his love for Jesus. It's been a powerful experience for him, and I've heard him speak personally. And he is actually the most sought-after motivational speaker in the world. I believe currently has 3,500 invitations. But in any case, he has a good time as he's doing it. And I was able to go hear him speak in Indianapolis. It was a great experience. Faye Mullins is someone who has passion for Jesus. This is a Seventh-day Adventist woman who lives in Alberta. Many years ago, I was speaking in the Alberta conference, and the ministerial director approached me. I was working in Texas at the time, and he knew that I was involved in personnel and in hiring pastors. And so he said, "Tom, how would you like to know about the top soul winner in the Alberta conference?" Well, I'm ready to start taking notes. Well, by the way, do you have a phone number and an email as well, right? But anyway, he was kind of just, you know, teasing me a bit because he said, "You know, it's not one of our pastors." Okay, well, that's interesting. It's a layperson pastor, and this lady even has a stuttering problem. I met Faye Mullins. She's at the Calgary Central Church. She's planted a church. But through her ministry, her passion for Jesus, over 250 people have become Seventh-day Adventists in the Alberta Conference. Now, Pastor, when you arrive at your church and you have a little old lady walk out and stutter and thank you for the sermon, do you think that's going to be the top soul winner? Wow. God can use anybody he chooses. And God uses the weak things to confound the strong and the wise. And this lady is being faithful. You know how she finds all her Bible studies? In the grocery store. She meets people in the grocery store for 5 months and then starts Bible studies in her home with a meal for 7 months and baptizes them and sees them one to Jesus. So as we look at passion for Christ, the key verse, first of all, we have to have a quiz because we're at the seminary, right? What is Rogers Bakery famous for? Being the first 24-hour bakery, maple bars, wedding cakes, or frequent thefts? Next one here. How does Paul describe his previous passions in life before he met Christ? As a distraction, helpful to his personal witness, as bringing him shame, or with a barnyard illustration? What is the best type of advertising? A Super Bowl commercial, social media, mass mailing of a beast brochure, or word of mouth? What was the church at Rome famous for? Last quiz question, electing a pope, their faith and obedience, persecution of the saints, or the best potluck? I hope your church becomes famous for that. We have passions in many areas of our lives. Each one of us have unique passions. One of mine is international travel. So here I am in Scotland with a Scottish Highland bull you can see behind me. There is, very importantly, a fence that is between us. But I would love to have one of these cows. I think that's quite exciting. While I was there, I was able to spot the Loch Ness Monster, as you can see. I thank one of my friends for being very good with Photoshop. I thought this was one of the legends that might be true after I went and went out and cruised on the lake there. I am sure that it's not true, but it was fun to see anyhow. People get very passionate about sports, men and women, right? I was able to attend a game where the Dallas Mavericks were playing against the San Antonio Spurs in San Antonio. And you know, it was exciting to see Tim Duncan, Dirk Nowitzki play and, you know, I was on the fourth row, so have the, you know, be sprayed with the sweat and so on. But more exciting to me was to watch Mark Cuban. because Mark Cuban was like a little kid sitting on the edge of his chair. In fact, his over-exuberance and passion has resulted in him being fined, especially early on as the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. This man is not passionate about basketball. He's passionate about winning, right? And it was fun to watch. I think the greatest passion that we see with sports is with football, all right? And I have to say with football, because with soccer, it's not quite the same. It's when you go to these countries that call it football, that you see the enthusiasm that is sometimes almost life-threatening, right? It's powerful, the passion that people have for their teams. Or how about for digital technology and people's with their devices? Or fishing, people get excited about. Or their pets. And sometimes I think, and pastors, I want to challenge you with this, be very careful with your children when it comes to video games. It can so occupy their mind that they aren't excited and passionate about anything else. It can be all they think about. And we can destroy their minds and turn them to jello and mush by allowing them to put their passions in this area to an extreme. How about chocolate? Now, have any of you ever had a Tim Tams from Australia? Wow, those are fantastic. You need to get a hold of some if you've never had those before. Some people become famous for their passions. Imelda Marcos, 3,000, over 3,000 pairs of shoes. Wow. How about this one? George Washington Carver. How many think he was passionate about peanuts? Over 300 uses for peanuts, but you know he wasn't passionate about peanuts. George Washington Carver was passionate about Southern farmers. As the soil became depleted, as they planted cotton year after year, George Washington Carver discovered that they would just plant peanuts, that it would return nutrients to the soil, and it would enrich the soil so that they could have better crops. But people thought that peanuts were worthless. So he had to prove that peanuts were worth something, and he really went after it and showed that peanuts could be used for over 300 things. And by doing so, he was able to help the poor Southern farmers. So, quickly, turn to somebody, share something you're passionate about outside of the ministry context, something you enjoy, something that you find passion in. Share that with somebody next to you, quickly. Okay, let's come back together. Did any of you hear something unique about somebody you didn't know before? It's exciting to hear about our passions, and there's an energy that comes with it. I want to look here for a moment at what Scripture says about passions. And we have our key passage we looked at here. Paul says, these things that were gained to me. We could say these passions that Paul had, right? These things that he enjoyed, these I've counted as loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence and the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. So Paul has a distinction here between those things that he used to enjoy, those things that we would call his passions, and then he compared those things to his passion for Christ, and he said, in comparison, those things are like rubbish. Now, that's a great British term for trash, right? Portuguese, lixo, basura. We can talk about all these different words that describe trash, but Paul actually uses here, of course, a Greek term to describe this thing that we translate to be rubbish. Do you know what the word is? Skybalon. What is skybalon? Here it is. Let's take a look at the picture. Literally, it means dung or excrement. Now, this is the only time this word is used in the New Testament. And Paul may have been a little carried away in his enthusiasm. and used some language that was quite colorful to describe how worthless everything else was compared to his passion for Christ. That's significant, isn't it? So let's take a look at this passion for Christ. I want to bring us three distinct points that we can think about as we examine what it would be like to have the passion for Christ like the Apostle Paul had. Wow, where we can say that's just rubbish, that's just skybalon, that's just dung, that's just excrement compared to my passion for Christ. First of all, passion requires complete surrender. Paul says that these other things, he was ready to lose them. He was ready to let them go. He was ready to completely surrender. And of course, the Gospels make this clear, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. This is complete and total surrender to God. We can't have one part of our life partitioned off and say, God, you can have everything, but this area right over here, I want to control that one. Thank you very much. You know, I've seen pastors do that with their call. You know, I want the conference to put me over here, or I only want to go there. That's partitioning something away from God, isn't it? What if God wants to send you somewhere else? What if God has a detour in mind for your life? What if God has something he wants to grow in your character, but because you want to go here, he won't be able to do that? Are we 100% surrendered to God? That's what creates passion. Who has our heart? Who has our thoughts? Whom do we love to converse? Who has our warmest affections and our best energies? If we're Christ, our thoughts are with him. Our sweetest thoughts are of him. All we have in our are consecrated to him. I think sometimes as I look at and examine my own life, I wonder if some of my other passions maybe supersede this kind of passion I need to have for Christ. Paul puts it this way, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That is complete surrender. How we spend our time, how we spend our money are the visual indicators of where we place our passions, of where we place our priorities. It's simple. How are we spending our time? How are we spending our money? It speaks volumes about where our passion is at. The second one here is passion must be spontaneous. It's not something that we can simply create. It's something that exists. I love this verse from Matthew 12:34. For out of the fullness, and that could be translated the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We can't help but talk about those things that we're passionate about. You spend a few minutes in conversation with anybody, you're going to know what gets them excited, right? This is Riga, Latvia. I love Riga. It's a beautiful old town in Eastern Europe. It borders Russia. And I'm going back again in September. This is where our boys that we're looking to adopt are coming from. But there's one thing, if you meet somebody from Latvia, particularly from Riga, there is one connecting point that is instantaneous, and that is a place called Lido. Whenever I meet somebody from Latvia or from Riga, I say, have you been to Lido? I don't even have to ask that question because of course they have. This is a restaurant that is so well known. It's a super buffet. And it is absolutely incredible. And this buffet is known worldwide from anybody who has ever been there. You just mentioned the word Lido, and they know about it. I grew up in the town of Walla Walla, College Place, Washington. And there's a little restaurant called Iceberg. It's off the beaten path. You would not see it driving down the main roads of Walla Walla. And yet, at lunchtime, at dinner time, cars are lined up for the Iceberg. They do no advertising whatsoever. They don't have to. Word of mouth takes care of that for them. The same thing is true of a bakery there that has maple bars. My father actually sent some to me for Christmas. But they're so famous for their maple bars, for their donuts. They don't have to advertise. People show up because of word of mouth. And I begin to wonder, what if God's church grew by word of mouth? What if what God was doing in your life, what if what God was doing in the life of your church was so dramatic, was so so filled with His Holy Spirit that people couldn't help but talk about it. You know, there's a church in Australia that David Asherick is now the pastor of. I went there before David was there and visited. I know why he went to that church. It's because of the church it was before he got there. Everybody that goes to that church talks about that church, Kingscliff, Australia. They don't have to say anything. You show up there and you experience it and you want to go and share it with others. Changed lives, miracles happening, people excited about their faith. The majority of leaders in that church are spending over an hour in devotions every morning, and they've been doing that for the last 8 years. Friends, that's the kind of church we need to be a part of, where people can't help but talk about what God is doing. Philip's invitation to Nathanael was simply, come and see. Come experience it for yourself. Word of mouth. In fact, certain churches in the New Testament were the same way. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. What is your church known for? Maybe your church can go viral. What do you think? All right. Let's look here at the final point as our time is running. And that is that passion is sustained. Paul says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was focused. He wanted to finish the race. It wasn't enough for him to start the race with great enthusiasm. He wanted to finish it. And friends, as I have worked in conference leadership, I have seen pastors drop away and not finish well. I want to challenge you today to finish the race well. To finish the race with passion. I entered a fun run when I was 16 years old. I pushed my way to the front of the line, and I looked at the more experienced runners around me and figured that I would not stand too much of a chance to win, but I was going to give it my best shot. When the starting gun sounded, I took off as fast as I could run with my brand new Nike Air tennis shoes. I was running so fast that there's a vehicle that had a TV camera in front of me. They had to hit the accelerator, burn some rubber to stay ahead of me. I went around the first corner. I looked back, and I was way ahead of anybody else. I thought, wow, this is amazing. I thought those were good runners. I thought those were experienced runners. Here I'm way out in first place. But then I began to gasp for air. My legs began to feel like Jell-O. And I began to wonder, how can I slow down without embarrassing myself too much? I slowed to a jog and let a few runners pass me, and then I started to walk. It was humiliating. It was embarrassing. I finished at number 164. Not the stellar finish I'd hoped for. I started well, but I didn't finish well. Friends, we need to daily spend time with God in His Word, in prayer, sharing our faith. We need to stoke the fires to keep them going on a daily basis if we want to finish well. I want to conclude with the story of Akwari. In 1968, the Olympics were held in Mexico City. Akwari was from Tanzania. He was one of the favorites to finish very well in this in the marathon. And as he started quickly in the race, for some reason, Akwari tripped and fell. He bashed his head onto the pavement and injured his knee as a few runners trampled over him in the process. Akwari got up. Somebody rushed onto the track there and wrapped his leg in a bandage. He kept going. He kept limping. All the runners finished the race, and it was much later as Akwari finally enters into the Olympic Stadium, limping. Most of those that were attending in the crowd had left, but the few that were still there stood to their feet, and they cheered as he finished his final lap. Of course, the reporters rushed up to visit with him, and they said, "You're injured. Why did you finish the race?" He said, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start this race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish this race." Friends, we need passion for Jesus in our lives. I pray that your time, your experience at seminary, at the MAPM program, that will serve to increase your passion for Jesus, and that nothing else that we're passionate about will ever supersede that in our lives, so that we can finish this race well. We're not called to start the race. Many of you are early in ministry. Some of you are in the middle of your ministry experience. We're called to finish this race well and to fix our eyes on that finish line. But we have a quiz here. Rogers Bakery is famous for what? Maple bars, good. How does Apostle Paul describe his previous passions in life before he met Christ? With a barnyard illustration. What's the best type of advertising? Word of mouth. And what was the church at Rome famous for? We didn't read the slide there. It was for their faith and obedience. All right, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we conclude. Dear Lord, I want to personally repent for those times in my life that I have allowed other passions to supersede my passion for you. And I pray for each person here, Lord, as they examine their own lives, as they look at the passions that they have, which you've created in us, a desire to be passionate individuals. But Lord, that greatest passion, may each individual here recognize the need to have in our lives the greatest passion for you. May out of the abundance, the superabundance, the overflow of our heart, may our experience with you be shared with others. And Lord, may we finish this race well, because we're close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.